So this afternoon, folks, I've got Coach Willis May with me today, head coach, football coach at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Came off a big victory this last weekend, the annual Pig Bowl, and Coach, 35-0, you put some points on the board this week.
Yeah, we're glad to get that W. It's been 6 years since Marjorie Stoneman Douglas has won the Pig Bowl, so, you know, to get that back on our side, we're really pleased with that.
Well, we didn't get the close-up of the shot of Principal, I guess, Leon Kiss, but we followed the pig all the way into the crowd, and my goodness, I was behind the scenes watching it live just like tens of other thousands of people, and it was pretty funny. We did get a shot of that pig on the ground, and I think, you know, got to get some mud on that pig or something, man, make it interesting.
Yeah, most definitely, I agree. It's a good rival game, though, you know. That's pretty good. I don't know how long it's been in existence, but it's a really good rival game.
It sure is, and it surprised a lot of our bloggers, especially the bloggers. You were, you know, the game was streamed out in California on High School Football America, which is Jeff Fisher, and it was amazing when he picked up on the Pig Bowl how it started going out nationally, branding the Pig Bowl, and how, you know, I could see what he was writing about it. So they were pretty enthusiastic about it, and it really got a huge reach, and it put the Stoneman Douglas, you know, the Eagles on a national map, and I'm excited about that. So congratulations on that. We love working with you and your kids. You're one of the top quarterbacks in Broward County. For those of you all that are listening right now outside around the nation, we're talking to Coach Willis May. I said he's Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. That's in Parkland, which is a bordered Coral Springs, Florida. And it's 8A, District 8A. You're in, Coach?
Yes. 8A, yeah, one of the 11.
One of the biggest districts in the state of Florida. It's a very tough conference, and I know we're going to probably cover the Bucks coming in there. But, you know, we're talking recruiting today, and we're talking challenges of recruiting and challenges to student-athletes, challenges to coaches, because, coaches, you know there's many misperceptions what student-athletes have. There's misperceptions of what coaches have and parents. So one of my first questions today is what is the biggest challenges that you face when it comes to getting your athletes recruited? We'll start with that one.
Well, probably the number one thing is just being realistic, you know, not only realistic as far as the kids are concerned, but being realistic as far as the parents are concerned. You know, every kid thinks they're a Division I athlete, and especially being from Florida, you know, there's so many D1 players in South Florida that, you know, if you play against them and you know, and if you're lucky to beat that team, well, that makes these kids assume that they're a D1 player, and that's not always the case. Maybe their skill level's not up to that point. So, I mean, you know, I've been real lucky as far as here in the last 2 years that I've had some realistic kids, but, you know, you always have some of those who think, you know, I should be going to UCLA or Georgia or, you know, and realistically they're not to that level yet. So that'd be one thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But you brought up a great point, and it points right to those parents. And so it leads into my second question. And my second question is, what are some of those misperceptions? You've already named, you know, the major one, because they're watching Saturday football with 100,000 people. They assume that's where they're going to play. But what's the biggest misperception that maybe causes, you know, sometimes it causes conflicts between the athletes and the parents that have when they are approaching the recruiting process? Because it obviously gets back to you. What are some of those misperceptions that Johnny's mom and dad have that always seems to come back, and it's nothing new. I know it's nothing new to you, but Coach May gets this all the time, and, you know, you're shaking your head, scratching your head, because they just don't understand the process.
Well, one thing, it's not in my control. I mean, I'm a high school football coach, and the only thing I can do, and I do it a lot, is, you know, send huddle links out and try to get our kids out as much as possible to as many people as possible all over the, you know, United States. You know, I sent a kid a couple years ago to Dodge City, Kansas, and in Kansas, you know, and so we work real hard to, there's some place if you are, if you can play, you know, there's some place that we can find you to play, but we, only thing we can do is put your tape out there, and it's got to be a good tape, and put your GPA out there, and it's got to be a good GPA, and then hope that that one coach anywhere sees something good in you, something they want to be a part of their program, and they show interest. And, you know, as a high school coach, I just, you know, sometimes parents think, well, you're not, they're not trying for my child, and that's nowhere close to the case. You know, any kid that tells me that he wants to go to college, I'm going to work for. I'm going to try to do my best to get him into somewhere. But you know, again, the head coach is going to, or the coaching staff of that program is going to look at everything, put it all together, and you know, we just hope they bite.
Yeah, and you know, it's poor, the folks, the parents' misperception as I'm listening to you is they don't, you hit the nail on the head. You're a high school coach. And one of the things that we do through the foundation and playing the recruiting games that we have this PTRD program is, mm-hmm. is we try to explain to them what you were circling around is that, you know, Coach May isn't being recruited. You know, Johnny's being recruited.
Right.
Johnny's mom and dad aren't being recruited. So Johnny needs to learn how the recruiting process works. How do you help them, or can you, or do you have anything that is able to help them understand that process any better?
Yeah, I give them handouts of the seniors, you know, after the season. I give them handouts and even some juniors who may be being recruited, just to, you know, let them look at and try to get them to see what, you know, the recruiters are looking for. You know, I talk to them all the time about their social media, you know, and how they need to make sure that, you know, whatever they put on our social media, that's just like putting it in the Miami Herald. Everybody's going to see it, and it's a reflection of you as a person. And, you know, there's a lot of coaches, and I think it's a great thing, to be honest with you, myself, that look at that. You know, they look at social media, and they look at, you know, how you are with your friends, and, you know, and add that into your GPA. And, you know, if I'm going to spend $100,000 on a kid, I'm going to make sure that's a good kid. I mean, I'm not going to give it to a kid that I can't trust, a kid that might be a punk, a kid that, you know, yeah, he's a heck of a football player, but we may not know if he's going to be here next semester because, you know, he's not a quality person, or he's not a character guy, or he don't have it all together.
Folks, I hope you're listening really close now, because Coach May is hitting the three major components. Number one, character. Number two, academics. And number three, you talked a little bit about work performance, but it wasn't anywhere on the radar, because you know as a head coach what these recruiters are asking. And, man, I got a big smile on my face, because you're right, it is $100,000.
Yeah.
And $100,000 to bring little Johnny on campus that may have some character issues that I can pull up in a matter of seconds. And, you know, worse than the Miami Herald, you may have to go through archives. If they're living on that social media, we got real-time character traits that are popping right off the page. And, man, I don't know if you've been watching it, but this last thing out there with, you know, the coaches around the country are hiring administrators to, you know, track these kids. Their job is to track the kids on social media, and they fill out these spreadsheets, and they give them to the recruiting coaches. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
No, I knew that. Yeah. Yeah. I have a lot of friends who are on the collegiate level, and, you know, they let me, you know, we talk about that stuff, you know, and I try to pass it on to my kids, you know, what the expectations are, and, you know, what my friends are telling me as far as, you know, what the proper way to, what you need to do to be recruited and what they're looking for. You know, I mean, that's definitely one of those things.
It's interesting. You could tell them I've been there, done that. I was fortunate enough to start the football program at Charter. And you could sit there and tell them that till you're blue in the face, and you have an outsider come in and bring up those points, and all of a sudden they're paying attention, aren't they?
Right, yeah. Yeah, well, it's like it's like with your sons, you know, you can tell your sons something. I have three boys, and, you know, I can tell them something, but if one of their coaches tell them something, you know, he's right, and old dad don't know, you know, anything.
Doesn't know anything. Well, let's talk about, you know, you've got some pretty impressive impact players this week. Ryan was over at the school. Let's talk about some of these young men, and we'll start it off with Owen. Is it Minot?
Yeah, Minot. Yeah.
Owen Minot. Let's talk about number 12. He's a free safety. Let's talk a little bit about these players.
You know, to begin with, I love talking about my kids, first of all. You know, they put a lot of time and effort into this thing. You know, we start in January, and I'm pretty – me and my staff are pretty hard on as far as, you know, making them be accountable and be there to weightlifting 3 days a week from January on, and be involved in the spring and be involved in our summer program where we play a lot of 7-on-7. I mean, you know, these kids get after us. When I get a chance to talk about them, I definitely jump into it. Owen's just a kid that we had him at receiver for a little while, and we moved him to defensive back, trying to get us some help there. And for the last, you know, 2-3 weeks, he's really stepped up. He's made us a better football team just by being able to play that position. He had 2 picks this past week, and last week he had 4 or 5 tackles coming up on the run. And you know, Coach Hafley, our defensive coordinator, has just done an outstanding job of teaching him, and he's really come along. And this is his first year playing. He's a senior. And he waited till now to come out, and we wish we could have him another year. But you know, we're real, real excited about this second half of the season, and hopefully, you know, watch him do good things.
That's exciting, and he did have a great game. Wow, I couldn't even imagine his first year playing ball. If he's played ball for 4 years, my goodness gracious! Let's talk about Alex Cadellis. Is it Cadellis?
Yeah, Cadellis, another kid. I mean, he's been with us. He's a junior. We have a bunch of juniors and sophomores that we're starting. I mean, I'm saying probably about, I think it's 5 sophomores we're starting, a bunch of juniors, and only a handful of seniors that we have. So Alex is one of those juniors that, you know, has really came on. I got to be honest with you, if you asked me maybe a year ago, you know, would Alex be in there? I would say he's got a lot of work to do, and I don't know about that. And since then, he's done the work, and I'm telling you, he's just playing awesome technique. And Coach Short, our defensive line coach, has done an outstanding job with him, and he's just playing technique, and he's playing tough, and he's gotten more physical and stronger. So looking for good things out of him in the future.
Well, you said you said the comments early on. What was the light switch you think they turned on for Alex?
I'm a junior, and I don't want to sit here on the sidelines. I don't want to sit here and watch my friends play, and here I am not getting no playing time. And, you know, I got to step it up. I got to start, you know, doing what I'm coached to do, and I want to get in the game. I want to play. So I believe that's – and turn that switch on, and I'm just glad because now he has a lot more confidence in his abilities, and he's just – he don't want to give that up. He's got the taste of it now in his mouth, and he's not about to give it up.
That's fantastic. And for the folks out there that don't know it, not familiar with Marjorie Stone Douglas, it's not a small school. It's a very large school. So I can imagine, Coach, you probably have a bunch of kids along that sideline. It's not a 40, 45-man squad. You're probably closer to – 60 or maybe 70 man squad, so it does get to where that bench may sometimes get overcrowded, and they got to stand up during the game.
Well, we do have a bunch of guys, and you know, probably about 110 total in the program, and a lot of those are freshmen, probably 30 freshmen that play JV. But you know, at the same time, you know, we're like anybody else. We got some jersey wearers too. You know, the young kids who've got a work to do and ways to go, and hopefully they'll build into something that can help our program. And, you know, but they don't want like to stand, you know, as they get older, they don't like to stand over on that sideline. They want to be in the mix of it.
No, especially when their girlfriends are up in the stands and mom and dad are up, you know, they're not far away from you either. They're like arm lengths from your stadium. Let's talk about strong safety. Darren, is it Vilsant?
Vilsant. Yeah. came over this year from he moved in. Well, he was going to Coral Glades, and he moved into the Douglas zone. Great kid. He's a senior, and he came with he has a brother, Bradley, who's a sophomore, and Darren's just a leader. He likes to win. He likes to push his teammates. He got voted by our kids as one of our captains, being his first year at, you know, Douglas. And that's saying something about him right there, because, you know, they really appreciate his intensity. They appreciate his love for the game. And they appreciate him for wanting to see us be successful and you know, achieve our goals that we've set as a team.
Well, here, this next athlete just jumps off the page for me. And exactly what we were talking about earlier, scholar athlete, 4.2 average. I'm sure this young man has some people, some schools looking at him that maybe those schools that you were talking about, that are those $100,000 schools, Daniel,
yeah.
Chrisitelli,
yeah.
Yeah, he scored both Daniel, offensively and defensively in the Pig Bowl. Let's talk about Daniel.
I tell you, we use him everywhere. He's a player. He's a junior. He's second leading tackler last year as a sophomore. He's our leading tackler this year. He plays the mic. He also plays fullback and tight end, kind of an H-back where he plays both. I've got something in front of me from Arizona, but with his name on it. He's a special kid. He, like you said, you know, he's an excellent student. He comes from a great family. He works hard. He's a winner. He's just a straight out winner, and he does great things off and on the field. But you know, we're lucky to have, you know, a kid like him, and we wish we could have 22 like him.
You like to clone those 4.2
students. Yeah,
oh,
they make it easier when you're in the whole process. You know, if they can play and they got a great GPA and, you know, they're a good person, and, you know, that's what everybody's looking for.
Is he a role model?
He's a role model. Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah,
oh,
he's a role model. If you know, I think the world of him. If I had a daughter, I'd want her to date somebody like Daniel Cristatelli. You know, I wouldn't worry a bit about him being, you know, stand up, you know, young man and everything. He's a good one. Plus,
well,
he can play. He can play. He's aggressive. He gets after it. We just wear him out. I have to find times to give him breaks and stuff so he can, you know, get a breather for a minute so he's not, you know, dead. We use him, believe me.
Well, I can't wait to key on him when I'm watching the broadcast, the next broadcast of you guys. And it's really fascinating because here's a young man that has the entire package. And not only that, he has a bonus because, you know, we tell these young men when we come in and mentor them that 50% of the student athletes that go away to school are not going to play the position they played in high school.
Right.
It's just a fact. They got to be able to play. And Daniel, playing those multiple positions, a 4.2 athlete, this young man doesn't even understand how much value, or maybe he does understand how much value he's worth. You know, that school's out in Kansas, those Midwestern schools will throw a ton of money at that 4.2. You know that as well as I do.
You just hope that you know, and the only thing I want to say about that, and I guess I'm kind of just bringing him down a little bit. You just hope he keeps working as a senior. You know, that as a senior you're not satisfied and you don't feel your oats, and you still got that drive in you and to come out and just improve that year, because, you know, some kids can think they're special, and sometimes when you think you're too special, you quit working. And when you quit working, there's other guys who are working that pass you by. So I'm not saying that'll be a case with Daniel, but, you know, you just never know with kids.
Yeah, I got what you're saying, and it sounds like you don't even let him come up for air. He doesn't have time to think about that.
Yeah, I don't let him think about it. Yeah, we don't. We're pretty bad about that. We don't. We probably don't give him enough pat on the back, and we probably still grind him, but, you know, we're just trying to get improvement out of him.
Oh,
and
gosh,
all the guys.
You know, you and I probably both are products of our high school and college football or whatever sport it was. And if it wasn't for that coach grinding me and that coach probably grinding you, we wouldn't mm-hmm. be talking today, and we wouldn't be doing
no,
the things we're doing. So what you're doing
definitely.
For him, yeah, what you're doing for him and having that good, balanced family life, you know, we're all about, KDA is all about coming back and giving back, and that's
mm-hmm.
what basically this program is all about as well. So you're doing some
right.
fantastic things. I understand why Blue talks so highly of you.
Blue's a good man. Blue's, there's nobody like him. I mean, you know, I respect him. I mean, he just works his guts out, and, you know, he don't let nothing keep him, slow him down, and he's there. I mean, we're everywhere. We try to go, and in the summertime, and he's there. I mean, yeah,
he is.
He's
oh,
a great
yeah.
person.
I mean,
and a better man, just a better man. He's just a good man.
He is, and I hope that we get a chance to talk again, because you have such rich content for these people. I can feel your passion that
yeah.
We're able to have a dialogue again and talk further about, there's many more things I'd like to ask you, but we need to probably wrap it up today. I know you've got
mm-hmm.
rifle practice going out, but Coach, you got Piper, the Bengals this week, and then our next broadcast we'll catch you is against Deerfield Beach. The Bucks come into town,
yeah.
so we get to bring
Tony
in.
Don't want to think about that right now.
We
got to worry about, you know, Piper. I think they're one of two undefeated teams left in Broward County, and they got a great football team and a brand new staff that's doing awesome. So, you know, it's a district game, and we got to start. We started yesterday, and we got to prepare for the Bengals.
Well, that's fantastic, and we're looking forward to seeing you and covering you again. And obviously, Ryan is in there a couple days a week and keeping up with those players. We'll keep those players on the spotlight, keep them up there, and any kind of help that we can give you, we're here for you, Coach, and we really enjoy working with you and your program. And I appreciate you taking the time out of your day today to take this and have this conversation with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me, and I appreciate it. And anytime.
This is Coach Willis Mays, Marty Rideau, Douglas, Stoneman Douglas High School football coach. This is Glenn Stout with HSPN Sports. So long.